Hey everyone, if you want to help support the ongoing writers and actors strikes, you can go to the entertainmentcommunityfund.org and make a donation for film and television. This isn't a strike fund, but a fund to help people who are hurt by the strike when all the AMPTP need to do is pay their writers and actors a living wage and not replace everything with soulless AI. We at Renegade Animation and Renegade Pop Culture stand by the WGA and SAG during these times. The shows and movies we love wouldn't be possible without the hardworking artists behind them. Now then, if you like what we do, please give us a like, a follow, and a rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to us. We are everywhere. Also, support our Patreon. That way we can keep doing what we love, and that's talking about the summer 2023 anime season. And now, on with the show.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Renegade Animation on the Renegade Pop Culture Podcast Network. My name is Mike. I'll be your host this evening. Joining me, as always, is the animation guru himself, Cameron.
Howdy, howdy.
And once again, we've got Teresa.
Hi, everyone.
And yes, this is our blazing hot summer 2023 anime season impressions. We have 24 new shows to talk about, and we all have various thoughts on them. The genres that we're covering, obviously, we got a few action and adventure titles, a lot of fantasy and isekai, a handful of comedy, romance, and the others, the ones that don't really have one particular genre. So before we really dive into each individual genre, I kind of want to ask, overall, how did we feel about this season? Teresa, I'll start with you.
Overall, I thought this season was just okay. There's some bangers I'm really excited about, but on the whole, I really feel like there's a lot of shows of why did this get made more than usual. I would say surprisingly, that I'm not the biggest romance comedy. I feel like that one came in hot and I was shocked. Fantasy isekai, that there's just so many, I just can't believe there are that many. But yeah, that's my initial impressions on the whole.
And Cameron, what about you?
Anime was a mistake by an industry that is slowly burning itself to the ground. But besides that, I don't know what it is about the summer season, but it is always the weakest season that we have to deal with. It has the least interesting shows. It has the most middling and underwhelming pieces of anime that we see every year. I don't know what it is. I want to understand why the summer season for what, 3 straight years now have been like the most consistently worst season that we seem to tackle. It's just more apparent than ever now how many anime that get made are based off of really mediocre license and IPs, whether it's a manga or light novel. And the fact that apparently we are, for some reason, wanting more and more anime is the result of all this. When, of course, we're looking at this through a US consumer mindset and perspective on a industry and culture that is not of our own. But there's just too much anime. Even the good ones this season feel like miracles, the oasis in a barren desert of shows and what have you that have a shocking lack of creativity to them. Yeah, I guess that's how I really feel.
Full disclosure, I am a notorious procrastinator. So the preparation for this episode in particular was I was kind of going into it kicking and screaming. Like, once we get to our top five, these are the five shows that I can say with confidence, like, you definitely should check these ones out. But getting to them took some work. And for those who are regular viewers or listeners, you'll notice that instead of splitting this podcast into two episodes, we're just barreling through because, golly, there are just too many isekai shows that we're basically doing two little different things in terms of their narratives, character beats, all of that. But we'll break that down a little bit more specifically later. For now, we've got the shortest category and probably the most polarizing. These are the action and adventure shows. So Cameron, what did we got?
So basically you have a 50-50 split of two really great shows and two you don't deserve words. We have Classroom for Heroes, which is basically someone saying, hey, I want to put a bunch of fantasy anime tropes, but not keep it strictly fantasy setting-wise. And then we have Ayaka, A Story of Bonds and Wounds, which is an original anime this season. We have Reign of the Seven Spellblades, and probably the best anime of the season, Zom 100, Bucket List of the Dead. And it's such a polarizing four shows, because with the bottom two, Zom 100 and Spellblades, you have everything that you like about anime and why anime is beloved. Reign of the Seven Spellblades is basically Harry Potter but good, where the show actually wants to tackle its lore, world building, and politics, and actually dive into its characters' personal beliefs and moral quandaries, while also having pretty solid action and likable characters. Like, that first episode basically has an animal rights or fantasy creature rights subplot for one of the characters, because they don't want to harm the animals, even though there's always going to be a case where if push comes to shove, you're going to have to do some killing. And then we have the show with probably the best pilot episode of the season with Zom 100, where it captures that human misery of working at a job that is grinding your bones into dust and sucking the soul right out of you, to the point where our lead would rather try to survive a zombie apocalypse than go in for another day of work. And the beauty of that first episode, on a pure primal emotional note, you just get it. You understand it. And it has, of course, some of the season's best animation. This is a very popular manga. It was going to get all the resources, no matter what. And just how creative it gets with its setups and the character tidbits. I love the fact that by episode 5, the sole girl character so far that we meet is not like, oh, well, here's another guy that survived. I might as well stick to the hip with him. She is her own entity, her own character. She's not just at the beck and call of the lead and such. And I like that our characters have that individual drive to them. And it also just makes a zombie show that's a lot of fun to watch. And even though it can be kind of trashy and lewd and what have you, the fact that it made a zombie farting joke and a butt joke land shows you that you can have all of this, but you just have to execute it to a way where you are pulled into the experience. Whereas Classroom for Heroes just feels like everything under the sun. It's fantasy, it's a school setting, it wants to be kind of like Komi Can't Communicate with our lead, who is obviously the legendary hero of the past, who wants to make 100 friends. It's very horny to a distracting degree, like in the ways that you don't want a show to be horny for the sake of it. And it just comes off as forgettable. And I just don't like fantasy shows that cannot stick to the fantasy setting, whether it's with the RPG stat screens or the fact there are video games and technology and such, where everything else is just fantasy, but they also have like robots and I don't know. It's just such a nothing show. And I know maybe we'll be kind of split on Ayaka, A Story of Bonds and Wounds. I just could not get into it. Maybe if I was younger, I would get into another shonen action show-like experience, but I could not tolerate the characters. And the animation was shockingly lackluster. The enemy designs were cool, and I liked the overall ideal about them, but I just really couldn't tolerate the lead characters. I just found them very annoying. But that's how I feel about the action category. Teresa, what did you think about these four shows?
Yeah, I can't disagree. I definitely think that Zom 100 is, you know, the best of the bunch. I wasn't completely bored out of my mind, like I am sometimes with the isekai shows. I just thought that, like you were just saying, some of the characters are really annoying. I think I know their nudity is like a thing they think it's funny, but I think there was just too much unnecessary nudity in the classroom for heroes. Like, just, it took me out every time, especially the dragon eater taking off her clothes, like thinking about him, and we didn't need any of that. She could have won the battle with her clothes on. that's my opinion. So that one's not great. I didn't mind, you know, Reign of Seven, Spellblaze. I did think the tone was like, I couldn't understand what this is. This a horror now? I thought it was gonna be this like light show, and they're like, no, everyone here might die. And I'm like, what are we watching? This took a turn. Characters were like non-offensive, but I only like the samurai girl. Like, that's all I care about. So I just felt like there's a lot of characters and they're going on adventures, and I love an action adventure story, but I was kind of like, a whole season of this? Okay, if you say so. Kind of how I felt about it. I think something about the genre itself is there's always a lot of exposition, and sometimes you can get bogged down on it. And I think that was both Classroom for Heroes and Reign of Seven Blades were just explaining too much, not entertaining enough. You know, for me, I thought the Ayaka was, I'm interested. I love a water power. I like that there's two factions of how to use your powers and what to do with these like sea creature ghost things. I don't like the main character. I think he's a bit of a whiner. It's like, if the story is good, a lot of times the main character is like, bleh. Or we don't even know who the main character is, because with Reign of Spell, I was like, is the samurai or the main character? Or is it this dude who's a spy? Like, which avenue are we going? I would definitely watch Ayaka and Reign of Seven Spellblades. I'd give it like one or two more episodes. Classroom for Heroes, I absolutely cannot recommend to anyone. Sorry. And Zom 100 is like going to be in my top five.
Out of these four shows, the only one that I genuinely disliked was Classroom for Heroes. It's not even necessarily because of the mix of fantasy and more modern sci-fi elements. It's the fact that they didn't even try to seamlessly blend them in. It kind of feels like in the foreground, you got like the fantasy stuff, like the magic school or whatever. And then just kind of as an afterthought, there's like a regular nurse's office, for example, and there's computers and robots and all of that. It's just a show that feels almost like an obligation to exist rather than something that a creative team genuinely wanted to show to the world. It's just one of those shows that I can't really understand who this is for. But I can recommend at least something about the other three. I think I'm probably, out of the three of us, the most positive on Ayaka, A Story of Bonds and Wounds. Like, yeah, I'll admit, the main character is definitely a wet blanket, but his master, you know, his mentor, yes, he is very much a piece of garbage, but at least he's kind of an interesting piece of garbage. And I like the sort of water-based abilities that they have. I like the sort of mysteries that they're setting up in the show. And I could probably see myself enjoying this probably a little bit more if I caught it at like a younger age, like around the time that I saw, you know, Dragon Ball and Yu Yu Hakusho and all of that. it would probably leave a more lasting impression. But for what I saw, I enjoyed it for the most part. The best of the genre have to be Reign of the Seven Spellblades, which I just described to someone as, it's Harry Potter, but with swords and no transphobic agenda. All kidding aside, the show, pretty much from the first episode, won me over. All of the characters had very interesting backstories. Like, they all had, like, their own unique reasons for joining the school and wanting to learn the ways of this kind of magic. And also, if you are a horror fan, there are some spooky elements to it. Yeah, definitely keep your eye on this one. And of course, surprising absolutely no one, the best of the genre is Zom 100. And I want to focus on the English dub for this because, if I recall correctly, I think this is the first anime that Zeno Robinson is playing the lead. And I think he gives one of his best performances, especially in the third episode when Akira reunites with one of his old friends that he had kind of falling out with. There's a scene towards the end of that episode where he just gives, you know, this like great monologue, and you guys need to check this one out.
It's just interesting. Sometimes we'll catch these issues with the other shows this season, but like, there are moments where stuff like Classroom for Heroes could be really interesting. Like, the girl lead of the show has, like, this interesting lore aspect to her of being, basically, in D&D terms, a warlock, because she has a patron of this big fire demon that she is connected with. But, the show's not really interested about that. It's more interested in getting her almost naked, and that's just one of the many of this season where it's like,
yeah,
like these creatives or whatever needs to happen is, if you have a solid idea for a show, then take some time to work on it instead of just trying to be so insular with catering to one type of audience. Not to say that you need to make a show for everyone, but when you make a show for this niche of an audience, and there's already like way better shows doing what this show is trying to do and failing to do, then that's a problem, because it's just wasting time, resources of already underpaid and overworked animators to bring to life. And anyway, with the next category, rom-com, where we had The Girl I Like Forgot Her Glasses, The Dreaming Boy Is a Realist, My Tiny Senpai, Tenpuru, Saint Cecilia and Pastor Lawrence, and My Happy Marriage. Essentially, how I labeled this genre category in my editorial is, more people making these shows need to know what an actual relationship feels like. Barring any cultural elements to it that we could be missing or going over our heads to why some of these stories are as they are. Like, I think I only liked one of these shows this season. And not to say that the others are all just terrible, crap, the worst. It's a problem when your suspension of disbelief, like, everyone has it. Like, they have like a ceiling to where they hit that point, and when it breaks, like, it's open season. I can't take, like, The Girl I Like Forgot Her Glasses seriously as a rom-com, because our boy lead has no character. He's boring. That's his only personality trait. But our girl lead, I just don't buy that she is this forgettable, inconsiderate, and stupid about leaving her glasses at home. And the whole gimmick of her is that,
yeah,
she becomes intensely incompetent when she has no glasses. And now, just thinking about it, it comes off extremely ableist, that it's just like, I wear glasses. I think we all wear glasses.
Yep.
So if I take mine off, I don't just instantly turn into like a Will Ferrell or John C. Reilly comedy character. And it doesn't help that Studio Gohans made this show, so there's just some wild cinematography that I think even if this was turned it, like Mike talked about this, even if this was a feature film production, the texture work for the CGI is awful. Not as bad as their previous works. Handshakers is an eyesore. There is just something off with every single aspect about this show. Even if like the 2D animation is pretty fluid, but someone is getting way too ambitious, or they're going with the rule of cool without actually thinking what's cool. The next show, though, The Dreaming Boy is a Realist. I could not decide which one was worse, because they both have equally terrible characters and premise setups. Like, the whole thing with The Dreaming Boy is a Realist is that he's been stalking and harassing this classmate of his because he has a crush on her. And one day, after getting called out for it, to saying, like, why don't you stop? He does. And then the whole world grinds to a halt. And it's like, yo, dog, why aren't you stalking her? We know that she is your dream girl. Why don't you go after her like you used to? And it's just like, y'all are advocating for harassment and stalking. No. And the writing is so terrible. I had the biggest struggle going through this show because it is so dense with its dialogue. And I do not care about half of these characters. I just don't buy this story of like self-improvement when none of the characters make sense.
Yeah.
My Tiny Senpai tries to combine the appeal and quirkiness of My Senpai is Annoying and Uzaki-chan in both tone, setting, and main character. Everything you hear about bad rom-coms, just bland characters, well, like the young adult woman character of this show, is more of an item and a means to an end without actually being a fully comprehensible and interesting character. Like, say what you will about My Senpai is Annoying or Uzaki-chan, at least My Senpai is Annoying had that fun dynamic between our two leads. And I don't like Uzaki-chan, but at least the main character is like a little chaos goblin where she is willing to put down the other lead and make fun of him. It's not better than, what was that? Don't Toy With Me, Nagatoro.
Don't Tease Me, Nagatoro.
It's not as good as that show, but at least Uzaki-chan has a little more personality. None of the characters are likable or interesting here in this show. I got so bored by the third episode that I think I just bailed before the credits rolled at the end because I was just like, I'm done. I know the 3-episode rule is a thing I stand by, but sometimes that 3-episode rule sucks. Tempuru, on the other hand, yes, it's horny as hell. It's probably the horniest show of the season. And you know what? At least it knows it. It's not apologizing for it. And it's got some actually whip-smart comedy, or at least interesting and well-executed physical comedy. Even though the premise is still, meh, just about a guy who swears off women, falls in love with someone, and then it's like, nope, gonna work as a monk at a monastery. Oh, it just so happens to have a bunch of pretty ladies in it. And then lewd, etchy, love Hina-like shenanigans happen. But at least it has like an energy to it that it can call its own, which is funny because it's basically directed by the same guy who did Dreaming Boy as a Realist. And gee, I wonder which show the director cared more about. Mm-hmm. It's like night and day with that freaking thing. Saints Cecilia and Pastor Lawrence. I almost forgot about the show. I almost didn't watch it because I was just like, I think we got everything. Oh, wait, there's this show. It has one joke. The lovely and pretty Saint Cecilia is a lazy slob behind the scenes when nobody is looking. I was disappointed with this show. It has the same director and studio as Sleepy Princess in the Demon Castle from 2020. And it has some of that chaotic nature to it, especially when we are introduced to Abel in the second episode. But I was just kind of bored. So then it was like a breath of fresh air when My Happy Marriage on Netflix was out, because not only is it a simuldub and a weekly release, which is odd because Netflix also picked up the Studio Trigger. I forgot what it was called, but it was like this fantasy dungeon crawling anime that's more about cooking the animals in there. But they're keeping that for January, so make sense of that decision as you will. But My Happy Marriage had everything that I was looking for. Drama, intrigue, mystery, and gasp, two characters who actually like one another and actually have interesting dynamics and character moments. And even though it starts out with like the worst family of the season, like it goes on to be like one of the sweetest shows of the season. So as someone who is always looking forward to the next great rom-com anime, it was a struggle to finally get to the one where I was like, okay, I can dig it. Teresa, what did you think about this wild genre category this season?
You know what? It kept me guessing. And I think I appreciated that. In terms of that, there are some of the ones I would say exactly about The Dreaming Boy is realist, where I was like, what is even the point of this show? Are they truly, they introduce someone as a stalker as positive? That's what I was confused about from the beginning. I think it's really just they were trying to establish what it's like to be like, I'm in love with someone so long and then I'll just stop because I figured it was weird. But it didn't come off right. And I just wondered if it was like lost in translation. But then I was like, no, the show doesn't know what it wants to be. So when the show knows what it wants, like My Happy Marriage, like I get it. I'm in it. I'm on board for it. I'm usually not the big, even though I love romance books, I may be more critical of the genre. But this time around, I really was kind of like, there was only one I didn't really like where I like can't recommend. Yes, The Glasses Girl doesn't make sense. I think that's just a comment over this whole summer season. There's just too many ditzy girls for my liking. All of a sudden they become idiots. Why? I'm not into that, but I do like the animation style of the glasses, like when you see her wearing them and they have this like nice animation frame of like what she sees. And I like the kind of magical realism of like him thinking about them together. And just, I thought all of that was really sweet. So anime can be very sweet. There was even, you know, a jealousy plot line in episode 3. But then when it's not sweet, it's really bad. Like Tenpuru, where I'm like, why is everyone in their underwear? Why are the women stupid? Like, why is this show? I like that they want to say being a monk or like going to a convent is not the answer of solving all your problems. I just think they go about it in a super weird, wrong way. And it's very problematic and questionable. And same thing with Saint Cecilia. They're like making her into this kooky girl they found on the side of the road who's a saint and has powers. And she's just, you know, loves to eat a scone. And it's just, you know, so one. But like, I like the idea of a pastor kind of rescuing a woman and it being a saint. And I like all the food montages. But then why is she wearing a short skirt and thigh highs? Like, what's up with that anime? I know that's like your thing, but she's literally supposed to be a saint. I don't get it. It irks me.
It's the otaku definition.
You just can't not do it.
No. And
even in this religious instance, I'm like, you started it. Why are you doing this? Definitely the best of the bunch, I was very surprised, was My Happy Marriage. I think what sealed it is the supernatural power element of it and the kind of warring families. So again, when there's more plot and the characters have so much motivation from the get-go, I'm like nearly crying for this girl. I want her to be happy. I think her family is terrible. And she meets this guy who's a little, it's like a grumpy sunshine pairing. And it's cute. And I want to see what happens. I also want to know what are all these monsters they're fighting. So, you know, I want to watch that show. I want to see where the romance goes. Saint Cecilia, honestly, I could keep watching. It's not as offensive as it sounds. That sounds bad. But My Tiny Senpai, I thought, again, it was there's some banter. It's very repetitive in terms of what happens in each episode, though. If you want more of that, just day in, day out of, like, people flirting with their boss, like, that's a show for you. I don't care for the extra boobage they keep adding on her, but I know that's a thing that animes like. The Dream Boy is just confusing, but harmless, you know, I would say. So, you know, out of all the categories, I thought this was the strongest after the other category, barring the questionable boob and ditzy women, is my feelings on rom-com.
There were a lot of ditzy women this season. It would like What's not that? Only that, bunny girls. What happened? Yep. We'll talk about that in the next category. Mike, what did you think?
This was the messiest. There's only one that I loved like unconditionally. The rest, I have notes. We're gonna start with the girl I like forgot her glasses. Between this and The Dreamy Boy's a Realist, they're both awful, but they're awful for similar yet different reasons. I'm not quite sure how to feel about Gohan's as a production studio, because we'll talk about a show of theirs later in this podcast that's actually good, but my overall take on them is I think they're just far too ambitious for the specific projects that they take on. Like, there is very little reason to do the things that they do with like certain transition scenes in this anime. And also, yeah, like we've kind of mentioned, just because you leave your glasses behind doesn't mean you leave your brain at home too. Yeah, between that and the male protagonist who is just downright pathetic, there's no way I could really get into the romance between these two. The Dreamy Boy is a Realist, I hate it. Just literally everything about it is wrong. The characters do not speak like real people. The very premise of this stalker is going to stop having feelings for this girl in a vain attempt to better himself, but it's making everything worse. Absolutely no. This show literally does not need to exist. Tenpuru, No One Can Live on Loneliness. It's a guilty pleasure of mine in every sense of the word. Like, I can't really recommend this. It is very lewd. There is a lot of fan service, but it's also just ridiculously hilarious. And just for transparency, I watched the English dub, which the dub of this kind of adds another layer of humor that for some reason worked for me. My Tiny Senpai, it's not great. There is one character, we talked about this off air. The manager is probably the worst character of this series, but it's not awful. I could see a similar show like My Senpai is Annoying working a lot better than this. Saint Celia and Pastor Lawrence, I don't think it fully realizes its comedic potential until Abel shows up in the second episode, but it's sweet. It has a charm to it, and I like our two main leads just enough. Yes, there is kind of one joke, but they get a surprising amount of mileage with that one joke across these first three episodes. This is one I could kind of comfortably recommend, but the best one for sure is My Happy Marriage. It kind of has everything that I love in a great period piece. The world is very lived in. These characters are all engaging. I absolutely detest Mio's family. I'm even like debating in my head whether or not Mio or Cinderella had it worse in life. Once you actually get to meet her eventual love interest, that's when the show finds a nice groove and the slow burn of their romance actually pays off really nicely. I honestly can't wait to see where they go from here.
I think Cinderella had it worse because at the very least, you can argue that the father, while still being pretty terrible, sent her to a guy. I mean, like, first of all, that the whole arranged marriage thing, I just don't agree with that whole thing. I want to get to know the person. Heavens forbid that idea. But he at least did it in what so far out of the first three episodes you watch is like a power move to get her away out of more detestable hands. That's the appeal to that show, because you're kind of wondering now, was this his plan all along to get her away from more insidious people in the world? But now we get to the big one, the one that has probably the least amount to say, but probably the most frustration, because it keeps constantly being the biggest genre every season. The fantasy isekai genre. Oh boy. So we have Sweet Reincarnation. We have My Unique Skill Makes Me OP Even at Level 1. Am I Actually the Strongest? Level 1 Demon Lord and One Room Hero. The Great Cleric. The Most Heretical Last Boss Queen from Villainous to Savior. Helk and Reborn as a Vending Machine. Now I Wandered the Dungeon. I'm going to preface this by saying this. We shouldn't have to police artists and creatives on what kind of shows or projects they want to make. If some of these shows were the start and stop of all they wanted to do, okay then. But just like the superhero genre, the fantasy isekai genre has gotten to a point where there's just too much. No one is going far enough with some of these ideas to make them actually great experiences or shows worth watching. This is probably the genre category that had the most interesting ideas that just completely squandered them. Sweet Reincarnation. Instead of just having a sugar baker or a patisserie individual die and get reborn into a fantasy land where he maybe makes a cake or something every other episode, why didn't you just go with Candyland the Isekai? When you hear Candy Maker gets killed and sent to a fantasy world, why not go the distance and just give all these magic spells and abilities and just give them candy-like properties? Why does it have to be every single generic fantasy show this season? Because not only did we get multiple bunny girls, we had multiple bandit attacks. So many bandit attacks. So many. It was too much. Too many bandits. Oops, all bandits for early plots of this season. My Unique Skill Makes Me OP Even at Level 1. I like the core idea that the town that this whole show takes place in is reliant on its economy with whatever loot drops are in the dungeon nearby. That's a cool idea. Too bad our main character in the first episode in a home with an obviously younger girl that's way too young to be maybe getting romantically interested in our lead. Like, yikes, y'all. Like, that was just the first red flag I saw, where she was just like, I gotta make money by going into dungeon. And then when she meets our lead, she's like, you are my everything. And it's just like, uh-uh. No. Absolutely freaking not. But, like, why not do that? Or Am I Actually the Strongest? Our isekai hero basically gets abandoned in the forest. Why not build up the premise on that? Instead, He gets a weird, like, wolf woman and then gets adopted by a family. Everything just spirals out of control with that. Like, it just turns into another boring isekai at that point, with maybe a possible younger sister has a crush on the lead. And, like, yes, they're not blood related, but it's still creepy and gross, y'all. And another thing about Am I Actually the Strongest? It was so close to being just a pure fantasy isekai. And then they somehow weave in streaming. Yes, this fantasy world, somehow because of our lead's magic powers, makes streaming anime a thing. God, these stupid isekais. Level 1 Demon Lord has, like, maybe the most interesting but squandered. Well, I don't even know if it's squandered. It's just, I don't think it executes its themes all that well, with the Demon Lord coming back as this gender fluid entity to go find the main hero. They find out that the hero is now a washed up has been. So instead of fantasy action and such, it's all about our Demon Lord making sure our hero can rebuild his life after scandal on top of scandal on top of scandal. And it has decent animation and a few funny physical gags. It's like, I like the idea of this show more than the actual show itself. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Don't ask me why the second in command to the Demon Lord is just wearing a swimsuit. It's just what it is, y'all. And it's just another one of those fantasy shows where I don't get where, like, how they make this world work. Because it's like the creator had a great idea for a premise, but then took no time to build out the fantasy and modern day element. Or who knows, maybe it gets better after episode 3. But if you're not interested enough by the third episode, then it's like you took too long to get to the good stuff. I guess I would say it's very friendly towards its non-binary lead character. Granted, this is also a season where they're just like, oh, ha ha, boys dressing up as girls is funny. Which is like, come on. We're kind of over that. The Great Cleric, again, great idea. A whole world that doesn't trust clerics because of corrupt systems within the healthcare system. Some of the worst animation of the season. But at the very least, its female characters are adult. We have our adult lead. And it has some personality to it. If it just polished out its writing, its pacing, and its animation, it probably would have been a much better show. But alas, it's not, because it just doesn't go far enough with its premise. By the way, in the, like, my unique skill makes me OP, the main character gets a gun in a fantasy world, and they don't do anything with that. He was shot and killed, or was that the Great Cleric? Whatever. All these shows blend together after a while. That's the problem with isekais.
I was going to say, if you have to ask, that's a problem.
It's just the fact that, like, oh, our lead gets shot with a gun, and then they get a gun, and there's no second thought of, like, no traumatic memories of that at all. So it's just, like, it's really weird. And the most heretical last boss, Queen from Villainous the Savior, I don't think I've seen a subgenre of fantasy shows and isekais that burned itself out faster. Because it's basically the same show as every other version of this show. Character dies by the truck, gets reborn as a villainess in their favorite visual novel, knows about their fate, and then tries to circumvent it by doing everything that they can to not die. We've already had a show like that. It's the, like,
we've had
all
two shows like this, for sure, where they're trying to change the fate of, like, being inside the game or whatever.
Yeah, so it's like, we know what's going to happen. So despite decent animation and what was the male lead's name in this one? The boy lead, the Stale or whatever his name was called?
I think it was Stale.
What a name, man. You're just setting up your child for failure if you're calling him. His name is Stale. I got so bored watching the show, and it didn't have that charm as some of the other ones, or like the mystery elements. Oh, because my life as a villainess basically did everything that this genre can do. And I'm probably also just kind of mad that we had that one show where it was basically a bunch of YouTube Let's Players play God Simulator with the visual novel by getting in contact with its individual characters. It's like, oh my gosh, they actually did something. But no, we don't get those kind of shows. It's just once in a blue moon situation here. But the last two are great. Helk has comedy and in like a mystery of like, why does this human hero want to help the demons and such? And it's so appealing. I love the characters. It's so funny. I love the race sequence from I think the third or so episode where he is intentionally given the worst like riding animal, and he's just like, I see greatness in you, do not worry, we will win this race. And he gets by on like a technicality that his whole body is surrounding the animal, but he's basically running with the animal in between his legs. It pulls jokes after joke with stuff like that. And then by the third episode, you're given a twist of like, maybe this isn't the legendary human hero as we all thought he was. And I was just like, oh, I want to see what else happens. Apparently in the manga, it goes to some places, which I'm excited to see. But I think I was just so surprised that until I saw some of the other shows, Reborn as a Vending Machine was almost for like a long bit of this season my favorite show, because at the very least it does something actually interesting with the Isekai. Our lead is turning to a vending machine. He cannot move without the assistance of someone carrying him. He cannot attack, or at least outwardly attack. He can only give out food and drink items. The cool little thing about his special abilities is that he can turn into different types of vending machines for different situations, whether it's giving out condoms to make sure that no sexually transmitted diseases are given throughout the village or the dungeon that he's in. Or like he does the whole, what's the thing with the Coca-Cola and, what's that little candy that you used to put in there? Like,
it's the Mentos and Coke trick.
Yeah. And the fact that he becomes kind of a useless protagonist outside of like giving everyone snacks and food items is so genius. And apparently this was like the creator's last ditch effort of trying to get something made or a pitch out for manga creating and such. And it's so silly and absurd, but I do not care because it's funny. It's got likable characters, a good dub, and it just does something different. It might not be in my top 10 by the end of this year, but at the very least, someone said, I'm not going to make another power fantasy. Teresa, what did you think about this genre?
Yeah, it was a slog with a few bright lights, I will say. If you had told me last time we were recording that there would be a vending machine show, I would have been like, what? But here we are as one of the top shows from this category, because you know what? It's just kooky enough that I want to see what happens. And that's when, you know, I feel like that's something anime can do that other, you know, just regular animation like a Futurama or something like that just like can't do, in the same way of like, we're going in, we're really, really going in. Yeah, there's a lot of, I don't even want to call it filler. There's just a lot of shows of like, why did we waste the time of people? Like, put those people on the better shows, please. I want to say the most offensive for me that I really can't recommend is Am I Actually the Strongest? So many questionable things happening with the kid being raised and breastfeed by like a wolf lady. Just so many implications. And then they kind of just gloss over it, but I couldn't forget about it. That's my main offender. All the other ones, honestly, were just pretty boring. The most boring award goes to Sweet Reincarnation. I love some candy. And I was almost trying to get in there with the corrupt church angle in episode 3, but it's just so boring. Like, I could barely tell the difference between the great cleric and my unique skill makes me OP at level 1, except he just slightly has better skills in the great cleric. And I'm like slightly more interested because he's actually like training to be better, while the other one's just kind of gaming the system and turning slime into bean sprouts or carrots. And there we go with the bunny girls, just a popping up in both. So, you know, when they start having the same characters over and over again, I'm wondering if they're just not talking to each other and they're truly coming up with this, or they're just so lazy and they're like, we're going to do the same thing. But when it's good, it's good. I think it's good when there's humor, and that would be Helk. That would be level 1 demon lord, 1 room hero, and reborn as a vending machine. Like, we need to lighten it up here. We've got to make it somewhat compelling to watch. You know, why are they in this other world? Why do we care that this life could be better? You know what? I just want to know what the vending machine is going to do next. I mean, that's where I am. I was surprised by Hulk. I was like, not sure what to expect, but it was really funny from the get-go of like the two people leading the demon tournament being like, man, this human's really messing up our plans. And the girl kind of putting everything on fire. So you can see the character development. You can see kind of the crux of the problem, but you still want to know what happens next. And I feel like a lot of shows are like, we don't actually have to make you excited to know what happened next. We'll just keep doing this lame old thing episode to episode and throw in all these problematic stuff and you'll just keep watching. But no, we won't. We won't. That something has to go and it'll be those shows. But yeah, I thought there we could get rid of like 4 of these and I wouldn't be sad. But when it's good, it's good.
Mike, what do you think about this overall genre?
So, an idea that I had, this genre has inspired an idea to make an isekai / fantasy bingo card. And yeah, we've got things like bunny characters, dungeons, characters who are reincarnated and already like OP even though they're at level 1. In fact, the very title, My Unique Skills Make Me OP Even at Level 1, like, I was questioning whether or not we already talked about this, like, a few seasons ago. That's how, like, creatively bankrupt the isekai genre can be at its worst. And another thing going on the bingo card is when either one of us say that a show didn't commit to the bit, and yeah, that's Sweet Reincarnation, which could have been something interesting, but like not even halfway through the first episode, they just devolve into the standard fantasy isekai tropes. I think the first show that I wasn't like extremely bored with was The Great Cleric. And it still could have used a bit more personality and life with the storytelling, but I do like the main character. I like that the women in this world are not just fan service. They're like actual people. And I do kind of like the relationship between Lucielle and Brode in episodes 2 and 3. They have a nice teacher-student relationship. The only two that really won me over were Helk, which is somehow both silly and serious in ways that don't rub against each other. The characters are all great. The comedy is pretty much every joke lands. And the actual story, like, once they actually go on this mission to save one of the demon castles, that's when things, like, actually get genuinely interesting. But, of course, the best one is Reborn as a Vending Machine, Now I Wander the Dungeon. I know the premise sounds ridiculous, but the reason why this show works so well is because, A, they go the distance with the premise, and despite how silly that sounds on paper, everything else about the show is treated with care. Like, you actually care about these characters, the people in the dungeon. In the English dub, Christopher Sabat voices a bear. Not the best genre, you know, in terms of quantity. I would probably delete half of these from existence. But it is worth it to get to the good stuff.
And before some people say, like, well, but my unique skill makes me OP, is not, like, he's not technically a power fantasy. It's just that he gets amazing loot drops. Yeah, but that's not doing enough anymore. Like, we shouldn't have to police these people, but we need to either slow down about it, because, like, how many power fantasies do you actually need? Do you even watch half of them? The reason why shows like Reincarnated as a Slime get away with it is because they spend time building up characters and the politics and the world building. And the action is really good, and it's not just, oh, there are no stakes at hand. At the very least, my unique skill has some stakes that our lead character, before he gets the gun, cannot fight on his own. And, okay, that's fine, but that's moving from an F to a C in terms of a grade, and that's not enough anymore. You need to do two things. You need to either have a wildly creative premise for your isekai, or if you're just going to be an isekai, you have to have a good story. You better execute it, because with every season getting like about 30 to 40 shows or more, depending, you can't afford to be okay. Because this was also the returning season for Jujutsu Kaisen. And Horimiya. This was the first season where some of these categories was like, God, I'd rather be watching Jujutsu Kaisen right now. Or Horimiya and what have you. So you gotta do better, isekai authors. You have to do better. Because if you aren't, I'm going to go into next season wanting to watch the Faraway Paladin season 2. Anyway, here we have the other category where you get to see all the shows that couldn't fit into certain categories in one grouping, where you see the potential of why anime is amazing to, oh, this is why anime is garbage. So we have Liar Liar, The Masterful Cat is Depressed Again Today, The Gene of AI, Sinduality Noir, Dark Gathering, An Undead Girl Murder Farce. This one was probably the strongest category of the season. Because, yeah, I'd say about three of my favorite shows were from this category. Liar Liar was not one of them. That one's probably in my lowest category, because it takes cues from Classroom of the Elite, which already isn't a great anime to begin with. And it's supposed to be this premise where the best and brightest go to this school slash city on this island, I guess. And they have this star system and these games. And your star ranking results in whatever your popularity and stance and your future is. But then we find out that our main character has like a special red star that means that he's lying about his actual ranking. And you think this show would be like, oh, they're going to have a bunch of really cool mind games, and they're going to play 4D chess with one another. But all the games are won because they cheat. Some have special abilities and they just cheat or hack the system or whatever. So the stakes of the games instantly don't matter. And then the story is terrible. I hate these main characters. I don't care for the boy or the girl. And the girl has this weird thing by episode 3 of like, I'm not actually this famous lady. I'm actually the body double, the friend who's staying in her place at this school because she got kidnapped. And then by the end of episode 3, it's just like, I'm actually the real girl who was supposedly kidnapped. And it's like, oh, piss off, show. The Masterful Cat is depressed again today is the other Studio Gohan show. And however you want to say, take this comment, it is Gohan's best show. It toned down the CGI and wild cinematography. I like our dynamic between our overworked lead character and her giant human-sized cat. I feel like if she was a little more capable instead of just so pathetic, I would like this show more. But it has its heart in the right place. And you can see the thematic elements of why this cat is helping his owner, and not just for the gorgeous can of cat food. The Gene of AI might be the most complex show of this season, just because it's a hard sci-fi setting about people who can be humanoid, like part human, part robots, but then it goes into the moral philosophy of just robotics and people becoming part robot or something like that. Like the second episode deals with these two friends and one of them is a humanoid and he is robotic, and just they talk about the issues or questions that would be raised of like, can we have robot people compete in the same games as humans? Or like, do robots have hearts and like actual memories and emotions? By the third episode, the second episode even drops in a really interesting and positive portrayal of non-binary and trans identity. And I was super shocked about that. I was surprised it was actually handled pretty well. Because, you know, you got to be careful when you want to tackle stuff like that. Now, if only the rest of the Gene of AI was stellar, because its animation is terrible. It's fine. It's just a lackluster looking show that is held together by its writing. Sensuality Noir is the one multimedia anime we are going to talk about, because otherwise, like, I heard good things about it, because otherwise we would have just avoided it. But it reminds me of stuff like Sakura Wars, where in terms of the robot mech designs. And it's written by the same person who wrote The Rascals Do Not Dream of Bunny Girls, the acclaimed show from Cloverworks. And unlike a lot of multimedia projects, there's a lot of personality to it. All these characters are interesting, or at least tolerable to be around. The action is great. I mean, it's the same studio that did Reincarnation as a Slime, Studio 8-Bit. And I like our dynamic between our lead characters. I was a little worried about how it's like, wow, I found this robot girl. And just the whole like item dynamic with her that got better by the end of episode 1 and going into episode 2 and 3. Dark Gathering might be the first scary anime that we've talked about over these past 3 years. Maybe second if we want to count Miyuruko-chan. But the interesting dynamic of our lead, who had a bad experience with spirits, so bad that he disconnects himself from the world, but then through the help of supportive friends and family becomes part of society again, only to end up as a tutor for this middle school kid who is doing all of these things and has a fondness for the supernatural. And yes, I mean, there are definitely comedic elements to it. But this show does something that most horror anime fail to do. It's creepy. It's scary. It's unnerving. It makes you feel uncomfortable in your seat. It makes you squirm a little. It creeps you out. And the fact that anime have such a hard time doing that in terms of being horror and being, like, scary is amazing. I was so happy with this show. It's probably High Dive's best show next to Helk. And then we have Undead Girl Murder Farce, which is this alternative history anime where things like Sherlock Holmes, Dracula, Arsene Lupin exist, on top of vampires and ogres and oni and even like Frankenstein's monster, apparently, that you'll see at the end of episode 4. And this whole mystery intrigue of this half oni individual who has to help this talking head die, but also find the person who, well, cut her head from the rest of her body. And it's really cool. It's like a murder mystery thing with monsters. And there is really well animated action too. But I love our lackadaisical lead character who is just kind of like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to turn full demon one day and I want to kill everyone. So, why not? I'll help you on your quest to find the person who decapitated you. This is why I like anime. This one show right here. I mean, next to some of the other shows, obviously, but it's like this one right here really caught me by surprise because I didn't know how it was going to turn out. But it's always nice to be surprised during these seasonal anime drops. Teresa, what did you think about the other category?
Other is usually where I find my little gems of the season, and it did not disappoint this time. I have to agree, though, that Liar Liar is, I don't like games. All these like games, you know, battling students kind of thing, unless it's like literally Battle Royale, I'm just like not into it. I just thought there was just so much talk about what is your skill level and all this. And I was like, I don't care. I don't care if that kid like makes it or not, but when it's good, it's amazing. I loved everything about Undead Murder Farce. I loved everything about Sin Duality Noir. I loved everything about the Masterful Cat. It's so weird, but I love it. And I love food preparation in shows. And if you don't watch that show, if you're hungry, is my tip. So, you know, I really think when you have like such an intriguing, I feel like the other is usually always has some kind of like mystery or like something out of left field where I'm like, how does that come together? I'm thinking about Odd Taxi, one of our favorites. Just you really have to have something either truly about the character, like a cat that's huge that cooks you dinner, takes care of their owner. I wouldn't mind if Oliver took care of me and made me dinner. Or you have something like really like mysterious, spooky, like some undead lady saying, come on an adventure with me. And I'm ready for that adventure. As soon as they mentioned it, I was like, I like this show. It was really good. I liked what the Gene of AI was trying to do. I think it's topical. I just don't think they executed it very well to keep my attention. By episode 2, I was like, what is this? But episode 1, I was vibing with it. I might give it a 4th episode, but I really feel like you kind of have to, all of the other ones, because they're defying genre, have to have really good writing, and they really have to hook you within that first episode. And when it does, like, I'm ready. I'm like, ride or die. And same with Dark Gathering, like, oh my God, this show is scary. Just looking in the girl's eyes, I'm like, this girl's seen some stuff, literally. Even before I understood what the little girl was like on about, I was like, this girl's seen some stuff. It's funny. It's scary. The animation is really good. It's just so unexpected. And by episode three, where she's like, yeah, I capture other spirits to fight spirits, I was like, man, I'm ready. I'm ready for more of this. So a lot of my top five came from this category, as I predicted it probably would. But I wouldn't say it's a perfect category because of Liar Liar. It's weird. I felt like we were like in Harry Potter with like the snitch, like them battling in the stadium. And I was like, why is anyone going to class? Why is this a school? Why is this an island? There were just too many questions and I didn't care about the answers.
That is a perfect way to describe Liar Liar. It's basically what if Harry Potter was all about the snitch games. And that was it.
And I wouldn't like
like no Voldemort, no classes or anything like that. It was all about the snitch. And
my least, I do like a snitch game here and there, but not the whole premise.
You can't make a whole series on that one premise. I agree with a lot of like those thoughts. Mike, what did you think?
For the purposes of our podcast, the other category is usually the one that's the most interesting to talk about, because as our category implies, these shows don't fit comfortably in one particular genre. Like, some are more on the comedic side, some are hard sci-fi, and then I'm glad we get to talk a little bit more about horror anime, because horror in animation is something that I've wanted to see a lot more of, and I'm glad that we have one show that is honestly just truly terrifying. Dark Gathering is the anime that I've been waiting for, and I didn't even know that I wanted it. It has its comedic moments. It can be very playful to relieve the tension of pretty much everything that these characters are going through, and boy, they are going through a lot. The only show that I just ultimately, and even like the further away I am from having seen it, that I didn't really care for is Liar Liar. I don't even know who this show is for. Like, there's no reason for this to be set in a school. The lies that our two main protagonists have don't really mean a lot, especially Redhead, who, you know, has had like her backstory change three or four different times. So it's really hard for anything to be taken seriously. This would be one of those shows I just toss right in the trash. The Masterful Cat is depressed again today. As Cameron mentioned, it is the best Gohan's production this season. Still not really considering this a favorite production studio, but I like the show. I like the premise. I like how this is basically the logical extreme of, you know, when cat owners say like, oh, yeah, no, my cat, it really runs the house. I just live here. It's just a very enjoyable series. The Gene of AI, probably not the best in terms of execution, but I could see a lot of engaging conversations happening as a result of the topics discussed in the series. The fact that we do have such positive representation of non-binary and trans identity is something that's good to see. This isn't the first, nor will be the last, sci-fi story to revolve around questions about AI, whether or not humanoids, cyborgs, robots can coexist with humanity. Probably not the best, like, in terms of its visual presentation, but I was engaged enough with the stories that were told in each of these episodes. I think probably my favorite was either episode one or episode three, with like the different families and what they were going through. But Sinduality Noir, it's been a while since I've seen a good mech anime that just pretty much just like rule of cool throughout. There is a bit of, sometimes a little bit of janky CGI mixed with the 2D animation, but that's just kind of common practice with the genre now. The characters are cool. The fight scenes are awesome. And I just love, like, the music, like the OP, the ending, and like the background music. But probably my two favorites are, I already talked about how much I love Dark Gathering and Undead Girl Murder Farce. This is a show pretty much for people who love good murder mystery, Agatha Christie novels, Penny Dreadful, The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. It's a great combination of Eastern and Western sensibilities. You got, like, our main character is a half-human, half-oni, vampires, all sorts of supernatural elements. If you want the more off-kilter, interesting anime recommendations, you can always find them in the others.
Undead Girl Murder Farce is also just so macabre with its setting as well. Like, it's, I wouldn't say it's as scary as Dark Gathering, but there's definitely a sense of dread every time they talk about that mysterious villain with the cane with the M on it, or when they're with the vampires and such. That's what people want to see. They want to see really well thought out world building. How many times have we sat through a multimedia project where it's just like, okay, what kind of songs are they trying to sell me? What kind of rhythm game are they selling me? With Sensuality Noir, it's like, yes, the anime came first, but I'm pretty happy with it enough to where if the video game actually comes out and it's not just a multiplayer-only shooter, I would definitely like to try out the game. Like, it's doing its multimedia job well when you have likable characters. A feeling of like an anime from the late 90s with its mech designs. And it actually reminds me of, well, I think y'all would remember this one, Sakugan from 2021. It felt very much like that in terms of world building and personality. So, like, I think in general, just with just this whole season, just to kind of wrap everything up, there's a lot of good in it. I was really dreading going through this season at first because I was just going through all the slop and all the mediocre stuff. But then you find a lot more shows that are way more interesting than you think they are and do actually have a modicum of creativity in their blood to make for fascinating watches and such. Like, the anime industry can be great. The anime industry does a lot of things that I wish the US animation industry would take notes for. And we're slowly and surely, we are, from like 2010 to now, doing so. But with everything going on right now, it's kind of up in the air where we are going to be in the near future. It's just, there was this, I forgot what the directors, I think it was like a producer or a director or something. He was having an interview and he was talking about like, man, there are so many anime this season and like a lot of them look like garbage. And he gets the question all the time, like, why don't you all just make less shows and then you could just put all the resources into the ones that more tightly constricted list of shows to put into production? And he's just like, yeah, I wish we could just make less anime. But unfortunately, the industry as it is so desperate to make a multitude of hits to make a bunch of money that we're going to hit a point where, like, we're already hitting a point where instead of the quality of animation dropping off the face of the earth with certain shows, delays are the new trend, because Zom 100 has had to be delayed maybe two or three times, and last year's Uncle from Another World had to be delayed like four or five times last year because of how the industry is again burning out its animators by overworking them and picking up bad licenses that should have just not been picked up just for the sake of creating something. I know we all want to have that next big hit, but what's that Ratatouille quote? Not everyone can be a great chef, but a great chef can come from anywhere. That's how I feel about the anime industry and like the manga and light novel and just entertainment in general.
Yeah.
Not everything's going to be great, but a good show can come from anywhere. And I get that mentality. But no one is going to be able to watch 50 shows. There's a reason why some of the people I talk to about anime are only watching Bleach, Jujutsu Kaisen, and what have you. We can't be doing that anymore. We can't be making 50 shows and then like nobody cares about 70% of them. It's not healthy for the industry. We could have just not had half of these shows, and I would have been happy to just talk about 12 shows this season. A lot of them probably would have been good, like the only good ones. So, I mean, like at the end of the day, I am very happy with what my top five are going to be. But Mike, how about you go first? What's your top five for this season?
Picking out a top five was honestly harder than I was expecting, because even though I was dreading the season going into it, and yeah, starting with Isekai was probably not the best idea, but ultimately the five that I'm about to mention, A, are in no particular order, except for maybe alphabetical, and B, these are the shows I can, like, with the utmost confidence say, like, you need to see these. I'll begin with the honorable mentions, just because something had to be cut. It hurts, but Reincarnate as a Vending Machine and Sin Duality Noir are my number 6 and 7. That should be somewhat reassuring that there were shows better than those two. But yeah, my official top five are Dark Gatherings, My Happy Marriage, Helk, Undead Girl Murder Farce, and Zom 100.
Teresa, what did you what are your top five?
It was a little bit tough for me, but I would say my five are, I'm keeping Sin Duality Noir, Undead Murder Farce, Dark Gathering, Helk, and My Happy Marriage. Just my personal taste of what I know I'm going to continue.
And Cameron, alrighty, what about you?
Well, I mean, it is tough because I was thinking at first, like, man, I think I'm only going to pick like three. But then I look back at my editorial, that's a work in progress, and I was like, okay, it's a lot better, and there are more shows I would choose, way more than I thought I would. I will go with Undead Girl Murder Farce, Dark Gathering, Zom 100, My Happy Marriage, and it's tough. Like, do I like the silliness of Reborn as a Vending Machine more than Helk's comedy and underlying mystery elements more? And I like Sin Duality Noir. I'm a little worried about how it's going to pan out as a multimedia project, since a lot of times during these seasonal anime podcasts, we stop at episode 3 and then we hear about, like, oh, the multimedia game that this anime was based on shut down. So it's like, great, wasted my time. But I think I have to go with, yeah, I think I have to go with Helk. I'm having more fun with that, and it's not so reliant on anime nonsense, but Reborn as a Vending Machine is my number 6. I just think, like, Zom 100 and Undead Girl Murder Farce and Dark Gathering are the pillars of good anime from this season. That's not, like, the returning shows and such, because otherwise, of course, we would say Jujutsu Kaisen is up there, so. I did, like, take a peek at what the fall season lineup is going to be. I can't wait. There are a lot of good-looking shows that are coming out this next season, which includes another season of Spy X Family. And like I said, the Faraway Paladin season 2. But there's like stuff like the Apothecary Diaries and what's this one called? Frieren Beyond Journey's End. Look up the premise for that one and tell me that you aren't captivated by that premise. It's always sad because I hate feeling like the summer season is always the homework season of all four anime drops. But I haven't had a justifiable reason to say it's not that. So it's going to keep being the homework season, the broccoli to the other seasonal drops that are pretty great in general. Not always with the winter one, but that's kind of on and off. But that's where we are with our anime season impressions. Just a lot of good stuff, a lot of mixed emotions. But in general, always a fun time.
Indeed. I'm always happy, like, regardless of how we feel about the shows each season, I'm just happy we get to do these every couple months because these are some of the most fun podcasts that we've done throughout our run. But now it's time to wrap things up. Before we go, Teresa, where can everyone find you online?
You can find me on almost every social platform, including Threads and Blue Sky, as Teresa Electro. And yeah, thanks so much for letting me rant about anime.
Of course. Cameron, where can everyone find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at Cam's Eye View. I have my own website called camseyeview.biz where I review animated films and shows from around the world called The Other Side of Animation. I also have a Patreon at patreon.com/camseyeview. That's where you can find me.
And you guys can find me on various social media at CaptainK42. You can check out my quick thoughts on letterboxd.com/CoachK42. And you can follow Renegade Pop Culture on Facebook and that one at Ren Pop Culture. You can also find us on YouTube, on Podchaser, subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/RenegadePopCulture. Listen to all of our podcasts on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, basically wherever you listen. And last but not least, everything can be found at RenegadePopCulture.com. Need an escape? So do we. That'll do it for this episode of Renegade Animation. We will catch you guys later. Peace out.